So let's get started.
Okay.
Excellent. Great. So it is January 23rd, 2018.
February.
It is February 23rd.
That's a great start.
2018. Wow, that was a great start. It is February 23rd, 2018. I am at Zanzibar Cafe with Safwan Dabooz.
Hello, hello.
Thank you for joining me today.
Absolutely. I'm excited.
Great. Okay, so let's start off talking about your drag career. How long have you been doing drag?
I would say on and off been doing drag for probably like 6 or 7 years. I actually didn't ever, for a long, I started, the first time I ever did drag was for a performance or for like public consumption other than like Halloween was as part of a GLBTQ theater company I was a part of. It's called Mid-Tangent Productions and we were running for 10 years and through them, there were multiple shows where I ended up in drag, but the first show I was like fully immersed in like corsets and boobs and padding and makeup and wigs and everything was a show called Snow White and the Seven Drag Queens. So it was a revival of a show that we did. I wasn't in the first iteration, I was in the revival of it. That was probably like, I think like seven, eight years ago. And the show ran on and off for 2 years. Through that, I kind of just learned from people around me, grew, kind of, and then just slowly, like it was all performance. I never considered myself drag queen. I'm just like, I'm an actor, and I'm doing drag for the show. So I even wrote in the program, I'm like, because I was pretty busted, and so I'm just like, I am not a drag queen. I just want to make that clear. So I put in the program. I'm like, I'm a drag actor. I'm a dragter. Like, it's not what I am. So, but then it was funny because like because of that, there were other opportunities that arose from it. Like, there was another opportunity where I got a chance to write a show. I wrote a show as part of that theater company. With myself as the lead, because it's what you do, playing a woman in drag. So, again, not very pretty, but like funny. Like what I liked doing was being on stage and doing comedy, and it was just, I found that I got a lot more mileage from being funny in a dress than being funny as a boy. So, yeah, that was kind of what, so theater is really what started me down this corseted path.
It's a great way to put
it. Yeah.
Who inspires you to do drag, or like what are your references when you're performing and getting ready?
I mean, I really like for the past, like when I started, like was just kind of doing it to do it. Like it was like, you know, tell me what to do and I'll do it. Like, just learning from my friends, learning from people around me. So, like, really just, like, close friends that were in my tight little theater community and people who were in that show. There's one person specifically that, like, kind of helped me along. She was part of that theater company. She works at Kit Kat Lounge. Her name's Madame X. And I don't call her, I call her, like, my drag grandma. Not my drag mother. Because I make jokes that she's as old as a dinosaur, which is probably true. But, like, I kind of started taking things from them, and it kind of informed a lot of my drag in terms of, like I look in my closet, because I have a closet for me, and I have a closet for Safanda, and I look in my closet. A lot of it was really borrowed, stolen, given. So, like, for a long time, it was just kind of like, I didn't really have, like, a inspiration itself. I was doing it to do it and doing it to entertain people. Like, as long as the look was funny and it made a visual impact, I didn't really care. But kind of over the past couple years, I've been more and more inspired by the bearded drag community that has kind of come up. I don't necessarily model myself after them, but I do look at them as kind of like, I don't want to say pioneers, I don't know if that's the right term, but like, I look at them as inspiration, not necessarily like a visual inspiration, because I'm not modeling myself after their clothing styles or their whatever, but I look at them as kind of people who are really leading a path to major acceptance for like someone like a bearded queen. To go back to like Snow White and the Seven Drag Queens, when I started that show, I had to shave for it. I had to shave my beard every single week. And then I convinced my director to let me do it bearded. And so because I'd been seeing more and more bearded queens, so like Lucy Stuhl, Helvetica, Jerfay, some of the girls down to the call, things like that. So like it kind of became more, drag over the past few years has started to diversify so much that everything is drag. Like, and those are kind of the ones who inspired me. Style-wise, I still kind of just, I still kind of go with whatever I think is pretty, or I go in these little like journeys. Right now I'm on this kind of like 50s housewife journey just because of where I'm at in my life. And just because it's a style I always wanted to kind of delve into. But my biggest thing about my look and my style and the inspiration I get is really from, I think, what I'm doing. Like, my biggest inspiration is to make sure that I am larger than life, entertaining as hell, and that I'm not just, you know, a pretty girl in dress, because I'm the bearded lady. So I've already like broken that. So I'm just like, I'm not gonna be fishy, I'm not gonna be cute, but I wanna make sure that like if I'm already exaggerating drag to the point where I'm a bearded queen, everything else is exaggerated too. Make sense?
Okay. Yeah, that does. You mentioned kind of keeping separate spaces for your clothing and means of expression. I'd like to ask about your pronouns.
Yep.
If you use different pronouns when you're in drag versus when you're not, or what pronouns do you use? How about with spaces?
I do like use she and her when I'm in drag, refer to myself as a lady. But I mean, when I'm in drag, I also refer to myself, you know, I'm the first one to take the piss on myself. I'm just like, my whole mentality when I'm up there and telling jokes is like, I best like make a joke about myself first before someone else thinks that, you know, I'm taking this all too seriously, because I'm not. I'm there to entertain people. I'm there to make people laugh. But I definitely use like the she, her pronouns. All my drag queen friends, it's she, her. Not usually him, because I call my drag queen friends by their drag queen names. It's not Nate, it's Specificity, it's not Colby, it's Tequila, it's not Drew, it's Dixie. It's like, I don't call them by their, unless I met them like in a separate part of my life, then I usually call them like she, her. And I think that's also synonymous just with like gay culture as well. I think like a lot of my just gay friends who aren't in drag, I'm still calling her, she, you know, it's just I don't know, almost colloquialism of the gay culture at this point to be like, oh girl, or, you know, something like that. Like, so, I mean, it's beyond just being a drag queen. I think it's just part of who I've grown up and become as a gay man and the culture that I'm immersed in currently.
So, do you have a lot of people who refer to you as Safonda?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Even when you're out of drag.
Yeah.
Okay. What's that like?
Which I'm fine with it, because like, especially like people at the bar, people at SoFo, they're like, oh, it's Safonda, or hey, call Safonda, or Safonda needs this, or like, I'll come in, and you know, they're like, hey, Safonda, you know, it's fine for me, because like, it's actually kind of a little pat on the back. Because then it's just like, I know that I have over the past few years, really taken a different look at my drag and a really different look at my drag career, which is almost exclusively toward Drag Queen Bingo. We can get into that in a minute, but it makes me feel, it lets me know that they, I always had a worry that, especially when I started doing drag and I started doing bingo, that I still have a worry when I'm up there that people aren't going to see me as a drag queen. People aren't going to see me as pretty. People aren't going to see me as any kind of illusion that I'm just a man in a dress. But, like, it kind of shows me that, you know, I'm not the most polished queen in the world, but it shows me that they're still buying in to the illusion. They're still buying what I'm selling. So, I mean, it kind of is a little, like, I think from them an unknowing nod that, like, I like who you are, Safunda, and I like what you're doing. And, you know, kind of a validation, if that makes sense.
It does.
Okay.
It does. I know that the term drag is really contested, and there's kind of a murky area that kind of surrounds it, especially mm-hmm. when it's talking about, like, validation.
Yeah.
And what types are really, like, what performances and things, like, what you do is really considered drag, right?
Yeah.
To you, how would you classify, or how would you define drag? Let's start there.
Hmm.
What is drag to you?
Drag, well, that's a two-pronged answer, because I think to really define what I define drag now, I have to define what I thought drag was then.
Sure.
Like, when I, you know, even when I was in this GLBT theater company, you know, for example, you know, I was in a show and I was getting in wigs and corsets and putting on makeup and heels, and I was the drag queen. But then we have the female actors who are also getting in wigs and corsets and makeup and heels and getting on stage. But for me, they weren't a drag queen. I have a friend who is a female drag queen, performs all over the city, all over the country, really. She's amazing, and I met her through this theater company that we had a debate a few years ago about, because she's like, I'm a drag queen. I was like, you're not a drag queen. You're not a drag queen. You're a woman. Like, you're at an unfair disadvantage. Like, you don't, you got big old tits. You don't, like, even have to, like, do that. Like, you have to do so much less to, it's not giving the illusion of being a woman. You are a woman. You are enhancing it, and you're making it larger than life, but, you know, that's not what it is. And it took me a long time to really come around to, and I think everything that's been happening in the drag community over the past few years, especially in Chicago. Chicago is one of the most diverse drag communities I've ever seen. About, you know, the rise of, like, bearded queens and genderfuck and what started off as a term, bio queens, which I don't even know if that's a legitimate term anymore, like, if that has grown into just drag queens. Like, I don't even really think of anybody who, any of those little subsets as, like, oh, well, you're a genderfuck drag queen. You're a female drag queen. Like, it's just, like, drag queen. Like, drag to me at this point is, drag to me is taking that person that's inside and putting it on the outside. That person who isn't on the exterior every single day, but who lives inside and is, like, burning bright, and however creative way you want to express that for the world to see, then that's drag. Like, there are people who dress in drag for work, like, and they're 9 to 5, you know? They get done up. They put their hair up. They do their makeup. They put on the... Sorry about that. They put on the, you know, put on the heels, put on the clothes, put on whatever, or put on the suit and slick their hair, whatever, if it's a guy, like, and that's, like, their work drag. Like, I feel like drag is so much more than, it's just an enhancement of yourself, and for me, it's always been, like, the best person you can be. And the person you maybe always wanted to be, but but can't always be. I try and live my life. I try and be consistent, a consistent character, as a person, from day to night. But I'll tell you that, like, I still tell stupid jokes. I still laugh at myself. I'm still self-deprecating. But when I get on a microphone, it all kind of, the volume gets turned up to 11, you know? So, because it's all the best parts of me put out there full force. And I think a lot of people do that too. Like, drag is an expression of yourself and your heart and your passion. So, it's so stupid to say it, but I've so realized over the past few months how passionate I am about about fucking bingo.
That's great.
I'm not kidding. It's so dumb, but, like...
I don't see why. I mean, I'm writing a dissertation.
You're writing a dissertation. Right? Obviously, there's more to it. Obviously, I'm not the only one who's passionate about bingo, but, like, it's just... It was just such a revelation, and when I realized that, I was just like... It was just like, God, I can just, like, have even more fun doing it. Because, like, I work a 9-to-5 job, you know, that I like. Otherwise, I wouldn't be there. I love the people I work with. They know about Safonda. They've come to see her multiple times. But there's just, like I said, just this freeing energy I feel when I'm up there with a microphone and getting to do what I do, because I love performing, and more than anything, and I always said this about my acting career, is I love making people laugh. It is the most important thing to me. Like, I get so scared when people don't laugh. I'm like, ah! And that's probably related to some kind of, like, that's a different whole thing about validation and drag queens, you know, needing some kind of validation. That's a whole other story, but... You know, everybody's got their insecurities and everybody's got that, but, like, when I was acting, I never liked doing dramas because I didn't know if I was doing a good job. You know, I'm not gonna hear the audience crying, but when I'm out there and I'm acting a fool and I hear the audience laugh, or somebody comes up to me after the show and they're just like, you were really funny, you were great, thank you so much, here's a $20 bill, which has happened. Which needs to happen more, quite frankly, damn it. but, like, you know, I've always been a guy who likes tangible results, and I like to know that the effort I'm putting in is worth something to somebody. So, and like I said, I require constant validation, and I'm completely insecure, and and that's why I do drag. And that's drag to me.
So I'm interested,
yeah.
Because earlier you said that your drag career has basically been priming you for doing drag bingo.
Yeah.
I want to hear about that. Like,
oh, my
what
God.
What was this trajectory like?
Oh, my God.
What
it
were
was
the milestones for
the
this?
Dumbest thing. So Snow White and Seven Drag Queens literally was, like, opened so many doors for me. So I met a lot of people in my life at that time because of that show, during that show. And... there was one time where a friend said, hey, my girlfriend's friend is looking for a drag queen to host bingo. And, you know, I thought of you. And I'm just like, I mean, I've been to drag queen bingo, you know. I've been to some really bad drag queen bingo. I've been to some really good drag queen bingo, too. But, like, I also never thought, I'm just like, that's going to be me someday. Like, I never thought of that. But then this opportunity fell in my lap to do bingo. And the best part was that it was at a straight bar. Oh, yeah. It was at a straight bar in North Center. Do you know where North Center is?
I don't.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So you know where Lincoln Square is? It's kind of just south of Lincoln Square.
Okay.
It was like just north of Irving Park off of Lincoln. And basically, they just said they wanted a bingo night. And then I didn't even know if they wanted a drag queen because they, like, all their communication was like, yeah, we're looking for somebody to host bingo. I was like, okay. So I came in and I was just like, I had this little presentation. I was like, yeah, I want to do this, and then we'll do this, and blah, 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 blah. And we'll call it Dirty Bingo, and I'm going to bring in a little guest host every week because I had to have a fucking security blanket of somebody being there with me. And I just got through the presentation. I was expecting, like, questions or, like, reservations, and it's a straight bar. And they're like, okay, great. Sounds good. You know, sounds like you know what you're doing, so... I guess we'll see you in 2 weeks or 3 weeks and we'll get started and start advertising and then go from there. I was like, this is easy. I'm like, okay. I just got recommended for it. Wrote my own fucking ticket. And then now I'm hosting bingo at a straight bar. So, that first gig lasted, 6 months or so, every week for 6 months at this straight bar. And there were ups and downs. There were some good nights, some bad nights. It was also in the middle of nowhere. You know, it's like a 10-minute walk to the train from there. I could only do so much I can't get all my friends there every single week. I can't even do that now. It's so full. I can't get my friends there all the time, and I don't know, for whatever reason, they decided we're not going to continue. So after 6 months, and it was the week after my birthday show, too, it was just like, I had that place fucking packed, and it was like 200 people, and so many people, and they made so much money, and they're like, well, we decided to take a break from bingo, and I'm like, and I got really butthurt about it, and they're just like, we'll talk about it in the next few months, and it didn't happen again. And then, so that was like August of what, 2020, I'm trying to remember. That was August of 2016. I didn't really do anything with it. And then I was just working with my theater company, but then Snow White ended. So then drag was just done for me. I'm like, okay, well, now what? So I had this closet full of clothes. I was ready to pack it all up and be done with it. And then I remember getting a call and that was 2015 it ended, I'm sorry. And then 2016, I got a call from the girl who was the bartender, and she was the manager of the bar that I was at. And she's like, hey, I want to bring back bingo. And I'm like, okay. So she's like, we decided to do it every other week. And then I did that from, what was that, December 2016 through September of 2017, every other week. And then in between that time, I had made lots of friends from that gig, and then I actually started filling in at Atmosphere Bar when my drag sister, Christina Rose, started getting a gig there, and then she's like, when she had nights off, she's like, hey, can you fill in? I was like, okay, great. So that was my first taste ever doing, so I've been doing it for a straight audience, and occasional gay people would come in because I invited them there, but now I started doing it in a gay bar, and I'm just like, what is this magical world I'm in? I can make dick jokes and pussy jokes and say all these things that, like, I was still at the straight bar, I realized that I was still holding back, and I was still kind of not 100% comfortable, because, like, you're in a straight bar, you're in a little tavern or a little, like, pub, you're not expecting a bearded lady to come up to you and be like, hey, want to play bingo? And it's like, a lot of people got scared, and I sometimes scared people off. So, I mean, in retrospect, I'm super grateful for that opportunity. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now if it wasn't for that. But, you know, it came at a good time. It laid the groundwork, gave me a lot of ideas, and I was able to move forward with other things. So then I started, I became part of the rotation at Atmosphere for a while. And then I filled in occasionally for my other drag sister, Alexis Bevels. She was starting a drag gig at, she already had one at the Glenwood up on, in Rogers Park. And then she was starting to take over at SoFo. And and then some things ended. Atmosphere went the way of whatever. They ended that program for whatever reason they decided to. And then Alexis had another show, and it just happened to work out. Like, it's, again, just all these, like, things just happen to keep falling in my lap. I mean, I say falling in my lap, but I also, like, for the Atmospheres and SoFo gigs and Glenwood, like, filling in, like, it's not like they knew I had a knowledge of doing this. So they knew they could rely on me. And but then there were just opportunities that arose within SoFo where Alexis ended up getting a show every other week at a different bar. And she's like, hey, I can't do this every single week. Would you want to share it? And then we'll go back and forth. And I'm like, yeah, sure. So it was a gay bar. I didn't have to do it every week. And you know, it was like a little bit of the pressure was off. And yeah, I think even there specifically, now that I'm at SoFo, like, I really see all of the possibilities and all the opportunities that I can have. Like, I am doing shit there that I'm just like, I never thought I'd do. Like, just some of the crap that's coming out of my mouth, for one. Some of the things I'm asking people to do, some of the games I'm asking people to play, the reactions I'm getting from people, I'm just like, I've never felt happier doing bingo than I have at SoFo. It's like, at this point, all the stars have aligned, and I say that now, and it's like, oh, the place will burn down tomorrow or something.
I hope not.
Yeah, me too. That's money. On top of that, that's money for me. I don't do this to... I mean, I do it for, like, an artistic outlet, yeah, and I do it to, you know, let Safonda out. I make money too. Let's not lie. I'm not doing this just for the children. You know, out of goodness of my heart. Fuck that.
So you said you perform in SoFo currently.
Yeah.
How would you describe that bar?
It is kind of a gay neighborhood bar. It's like a gay Cheers. It really is. It's like everybody knows your name. Like, you know all the bartenders. You know what nights you come in. You know, just go and have a beer after work. Or, like, it's super chill. But they also, the staff there and the bartenders and the rest of the staff are all also really invested in it too. So, like, I know they're invested in the programming too, and want it to succeed. And, like, the bartender who's there, Danny, you know, is always like, we're always bouncing ideas off each other. You know, he came up with the idea to, he's like, well, you know, we inherited this from, this was a bingo night that they had a Crew, and then Crew closed. And so SoFo's like, well, we'll take it. Since they, you know, share owners and stuff, they're like, well, we'll just do bingo night at SoFo. Because they didn't start bingo there until, what is it, September, October, something like that. And then it was like, so it was the same name. It was Bada Bingo with Toyota Corona, and then we came here, and then it was Bada Bingo with Alexis Bevels, and then it was Bada Bingo with Alexis Bevels and Safonda Booze. And sorry, I lost my train of thought. But I would say, like, everyone there is also just really open and collaborative, and, like, they let me run with these ideas and just go up there and be a fool all the time, and you know, they support it, and I really appreciate it. Like, it's different to be in a, it's different, it's the same thing as my day job. It's different going into a place you love to work versus a place that they're just paying you and you're just going. Like, you know, it's not that I didn't love doing it at the Straight Bar, and it's not that I didn't love doing it at, you know, at Atmosphere. It's just that this place, like I said, all the stars have aligned, and the people there are so great, and the customers are so great, that it's just like, I think that familiarity, like that Cheers type vibe, is kind of what lends itself to that. Like, I know most of the people who come in every week, and you know, they know me too. They know what to expect. Just sheer buffoonery, and yeah, it's good. Like, I feel like I can really let go and let loose because it's so chill and so laid back, and because everyone's so awesome. So
that's excellent.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a bit about the people that come in to play bingo with you?
Yeah. I mean, I've gotten the regulars. I've gotten people who followed me from Atmosphere. So the occasional just like random group of people that's like, bingo, what? I had no idea. But I will say this about them. Like, I mean, bingo's not for everybody, but people get really passionate about playing bingo. Like, you've played before. You know that, like, when you're one square away and then somebody else calls it, you are so mad.
Oh, yeah.
Or when I call a ball that, you know, that you don't, it's like you need B1 and I call B2, you're like, damn it. Like, people get so, on multiple occasions, have to explain to people, I'm like, you know that I have no control over this, right? Like, you know that this is a game of chance. I am just merely the arbiter of of said bingo balls, the purveyor of these numbers and letters. Like, so, I mean, the people who come in, you know, I always, like, try and be my semi-charming self, you know, when they come in, and I can gauge pretty well the people who don't want to be there, people who don't. But I mean, like, the type of people that come in, I feel like you always, I've never met somebody at any of my gigs who decided to play bingo that didn't have a good time. They're not like, even if they didn't win, they're not like, oh crap, that was, you know, that was a terrible evening. Because, like, the other thing about it is like, they, if they're sitting down to play, they want to be engaged, and they want to be active, and they want to be doing something, like, and I think that, I don't know, it just takes a certain type of person to even want to, like, sit down and take a chance and do it. And then my experience with the specific people who come into SoFo and play bingo is just that they're all a crazy bunch of bastards. You know, they are all, I've never, like, it's going back to what I said before, like, I've never met, like, a nicer bunch of people as customers. Everyone's so kind and everyone's so nice. And one of the owners, there was an incident with something, when I first started, with a customer, and they said to me, you know, we really want this place to be a safe haven for everybody. Everyone feel welcome, and, you know, nobody's turned away or nobody feels uncomfortable. And I took that to heart. So I'm like, I've always wanted that. That's what I want in my life. That's what I wanted when I would go out, you know, to a bar or something. And so I feel like everyone there, it's like we have our own little, like, Tuesday night community, you know? So it's fun. Whether they come every week or they come once a month or once every 6 months, it's, I just appreciate that they all buy in to what I'm selling.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What do you think keeps people coming back to the goat? Or what do you think draws people into
my sparkling personality and undying beauty? I really don't know. I mean, like, people, I mean, like I said, people just want a mindless escape sometimes, you know? Like, it's fun for them, and they get to, you know, they get to be active and do something with their friends and also drink. I think that's part of it. Part of it is also because, like, people just like SoFo. You know, they're, like, I think there's a loyalty to that, that place that I've seen from the customers, that I haven't really seen from any other place that I've done this at. You know, people are very, very loyal to that bar, and what I'm trying to do is forge connections with the people who come in, because, I mean, you've seen it too, like, I'm not just like this, like, person up here and then I, you know, put on the mic and whatever. I love talking to people and, like, engaging with people, and I think that's part of it. Like, when people feel like they're part of the fun, when people feel like they're appreciated, when people feel like, you know, I didn't just come here, you like that I'm here and you want me to be here, and, you know, that when we interact, I think it also is something that I do with people that encourages them to come back. At least I hope it does, because I don't want anyone leaving ever having a bad time. I don't want anyone leaving ever feeling uncomfortable, because that's just what I want, you know, for me. That's what I would want from the other side of it. So I try to engage as many people as possible, and I hope that why they come back is because of me and because of Alexis. You know, because I know that there's some people who just come in for bingo now. So I'm like, cool. Guess I'm doing my job. So I hope so, anyway.
It's cool. So I'd like to talk about your, like, what you do hosting bingo, too.
Yeah.
What are some of your ritualized practices surrounding the game of bingo?
Without fail, will always continue to make an orgasm noise whenever 069 comes up. You can't take that away from me. You can't tell me to stop. You can't tell me not to do it. I mean, like, I'm at my core when it comes to bingo, like, I'm dick jokes and dad jokes. And sometimes I get some dad dick jokes in there, like, in between. But, like, I mean, I'm not... All I want to do, like, I've got, like, my list of, like, games and my list of, like, special things we can do, like a wild bingo or a, like, a speed round, things like that. So, like, I mean, like, I've actually done... And I have, like, all my little boards that I'm like, okay, this is what we're going to do this time and this time, this time. Like, I take it seriously, like... I want to be prepared and make sure that I have everything, all my ducks in a row to make sure that everyone else knows what they're doing, knows how to play, has a fair chance of winning. And that just might be me being like, I don't know, just like coming from an acting background, like, you have to know your lines, you have to know your blocking, you have to know your choreography, like, I don't, like, choreograph anything I say or do. It literally is all off the cuff. Other than, the stupid rhymes with, like, you know, G66. Oh, wait, no, that's 066. 066, sucking all the dicks. Like, things like that. I mean, like, I've got my little rhymes and things ingrained in my head. And I think it kind of goes along with just the preparedness of wanting to make sure that people have a good time and people are entertained. In terms of, like, rituals or anything, I'm just like, there's a lot of times where I'm just like, okay, let's put on this makeup and this wig and this dress and let's hope for the best. Let's just hope I don't break my ankle. Let's hope I don't get too drunk. So a lot of hoping is involved with it too. But I mean, I know I'm there to do a job. So, like, I've got my little arsenal of tools, and I've got my know-how in my head of, you know, things I can say and do. And then I think just preparedness-wise, like, the biggest thing is, like, going back to when I get there, like, engaging people and talking to people and, like, making sure that people know that they're welcome and that I want them to play and I want them to win and I'm cheering for them, you know, because I am. I've always wanted people to do that for me when I'm playing bingo, and, you know, I want them to know, I want them to feel comfortable. So, I mean, if I'm uncomfortable, they're uncomfortable, and vice versa. So, it's not really any magic answer. It's more of a ethereal answer for you.
That's great. So you talked about your arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
And I know part of that is that you have these cards with different patterns on them. Can you talk about some of the patterns that you play during bingo and, like, how you introduce them?
Oh, boy.
All right. This is the R-rated version of the interview. So, not that my swearing hasn't been. Sorry, I have a potty mouth. And
it's fine.
Again,
it's fine.
You know that from seeing me at bingo. So, when I started my career, it was Dirty Bingo with the bearded lady and his bevy of beauties. So I looked up and I researched all these different bingo boards, and I'm like, well, what else can I do? What else can I draw? How can I do this? And I'm like, okay, easy enough. I can draw a dick. So let's draw a dick on here. And okay, it's a big heart, and it's, I don't know why I drew it in purple, but I did. I've had it in purple for years. So I have this big purple dick, and I'm like, look at my big, hard purple dick. Oh, God, I'm, like, screaming that out. I'm so sorry. So it's like, look at my big, hard purple dick. Or, like, there's two ways to, like, sometimes I'll be feeling frisky, and it's like, okay, I'll give you more than one way to win. It's like, hold it up, it's a hard dick. Hold it down, and it's a soft dick. So, and part of the reason I do that is, one, to diversify people's chances of winning, for one, and two, also, I do something where people don't just yell bingo when they win with me. I always, unless I'm drunk and I forget, which does happen, they usually, with every special board, there's something special to yell out. So even with something like that, like the dick being hard or the dick being soft, it's like, you have to yell out something different. Like, when the dick is hard, you have to yell out, I've got a hard on. Or if it's soft, then I think the one I always do, I always think I'm going to come up with something new, but I don't. One day I will, I promise. But, like, when it's a soft dick, I always yell out, flaccid, flaccid, from Death Becomes Her, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. So, like, even with stuff like that, with the things that they call out, I kind of refer to my own knowledge of pop culture and movies and television and drag and, you know, current events, things like that, to kind of keep people on their toes and make sure that they're engaged. I feel like the biggest thing about it is I like doing all these different boards and switching it up all the time and not having the same program, because, one, I kind of like the mentality of people coming in and you don't know what you're going to get. Ooh, puberty. You don't know what you're going to get. And then, two, also having to listen and make sure that they're paying attention. Like, you know, and, like, other boards, other good ones I've done. Five whores on a corner is a fun one. So it's just, like, a corner and then, like, the, like, two on either side. And I usually am able to pick out, like, usually pick out the staff. There are two whores, and then myself, I'm another whore, and then if I know somebody in the bar, they're the fourth whore, and then you're competing for that spot to be the fourth whore, or fifth whore. So, you know, it's just silly stuff like that, but, you know, I'm not gonna lie. I have, and the same thing with my drag, I have gone to other Queens Bingo, and I have playfully repurposed some of their boards, or done my own spin on it, but I mean, like, you know, there's only so many things you can do with a bingo board, and only so many abstract designs you can draw on it without it being like ridiculous. I'm like, okay, and now you're gonna draw an abstract flower or like a, you know, it's hard, but like I, with the boards I do try to just keep it light and funny, and I think the whole dirty bingo aspect has kept people, keeps, I think, you know, people like a good dirty joke. So, I mean, like, if you're starting from there, I'm just like, basically, I'm like, okay, we're going to set the bar down here for the class level where we're going to be. All right? Like I said, it's dick jokes, pussy jokes. That's about it. So I want people to know what they're getting into when they do it. Because my old thing was called Dirty Bingo, but this is not called Dirty Bingo anymore. Although See You Next Tuesday. Exactly. We rebranded it, and now it's See You Next Tuesday. So I was one who pushed for that name. So, you know, I felt it kind of went along with the brand. But, I mean, I did not do it without Alexis. Alexis was right there with me, and she was on board, too. So, and I think it also opened ourselves up to have a lot more fun and, like, do other things, like lip syncs and like a ring toss on a dildo or.
Can you tell me a bit about these?
Oh God.
Is it you guys lip syncing?
So, you know, again with Alexis and I coming in, Sofa wanted to kind of diversify the night, and you know they're like, well, we want to, you know, have it not just be bingo. We want it to be something more than that, like. So we came up with this concept of, like, you know, see you next Tuesday. Because the other thing I came up with is that people are always asking, oh, then when's bingo? Well, it's called see you next Tuesday, so it's on Tuesday. So, like, I mean, if you can't figure it out from there, then you have bigger problems. But, I mean, see you next Tuesday officially started beginning of February, so it's very new. Alexis actually hasn't been here for any of it. So I've had 3 weeks so far to do my own thing, and like there's honestly stuff that comes to me in the moment that I'm just like, let's do this, because I've always said it, I'm just like, I thank God for those audiences, because like I tell them to say stupid shit when I'm on a microphone, or I ask them to do stupid shit, and people do it. It's awesome.
Can you give me an example?
Yeah, I mean, like, one thing that I came up with this past week, so, like, I told you 069, favorite ball of all time. Absolute favorite. So then I'm just like, huh, you know, we always call out this ball, but we don't do anything with it. So I'm like, why don't we do a contest? I'm like, whoever wants a free shot, show me a dick pic that somebody sent you within the past week. And then, like, everyone just kind of looked at each other, and they're like, I don't want to do that. And then, like, one person's like, I was like, nobody, come on. I'm like, it's a bar full of predominantly gay men. Somebody has a dick pic on their phone. So, you know, one person came up, and then a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and like, eight or nine people came up. And so I'm, like, standing there in this, like, 1950s housewife dress with a bunch of men shoving their phones in my face with just dick pics. They're like, what about this one? What about this one? I was like, whoa. What have I just unleashed here? But again, like, it's like, I think the initial reaction from people was shock, and they're like, what? Because it's a Tuesday. I know that, like, there's other parties and stuff where they're like, they take dick pics or they put them on TVs or do whatever. But, like, this was like, it's bingo. It's like, people aren't expecting that. So people are like, wait, you want us to do what? And so once that set in, and again, I think it's because of the environment I've created, people are comfortable enough to come up and do that. Plus, people like alcohol, and they want a free shot, so that helps, too. So, you know, things like that. And, like, I'm just trying to also just change it up and make sure people are... I've been to bingo where people just, like, they're like, B1, one under the B, you know, and, like, call that out just, like, clockwork every single time. And... I don't like that. It's fine, but it's not. I want to make sure that whether you're drunk or sober, gay, straight, whatever, I want to make sure you're paying attention and that you are fully engaged in everything I'm doing. So that's why I'm always trying to throw like little curveballs and stuff like that. And plus it gives people an opportunity to win more and do more. And when people win, then, you know, even if one person wins and everyone else loses, everyone still feels like good or like, oh, that could have been me, or I can win too. Things like that. So it also kind of bumps up morale, like in like this like little Tuesday night bingo community that we have for the evening.
That's, yeah, that's awesome. You're kind of touching on this. When you're hosting, do you anything to get people to explore their gender or sexual identities?
I mean, you know, there's one thing I do that I always try and promote a level of openness and kind of where I'm at with bingo now is just like anything goes. As long as people are, you know, safe and having fun, anything goes. I just want people to have a good time. So like one of the things I do that has yielded a myriad of results is story time, which is one of my favorite things to do. And there have been times where story time, let me tell you what story time is first. So story time is I have a blank board. I get a volunteer from the audience who's willing to tell a story. I have now started telling people, you have to limit this story to about 60 to 90 seconds. Tell me a story about something like a sexy story or like an embarrassing story or like, you know, something stupid that happened to you today. Just anything, you know. And so I like when people tell, I always encourage people to tell like, tell me like a sexy story, like about your first time or about like an awkward experience and about, or you know, like the time your mom walked in on you. I don't, you know, whatever. And the reason I had started doing that at Dirty Bingo back in the day at a straight bar, and I got some good stories from straight bars, let me tell you, was just so people would feel, so I wasn't the only one who was doing it. Like, it's one thing to get up there on a microphone and be, you know, making all these jokes about sex or talking about sex, and it's because I'm comfortable with sex, but I also want everyone else to be comfortable too. So it's like it's a little opportunity for somebody to share a little bit about themselves and to tell a story and, you know, make people laugh or like get a reaction or like, you know, there's no shame in anything that anybody has ever told. I would say 99% of the time, whatever story they've shared, I mean, usually yield some kind of laughter from the crowd or some kind of like big reaction. But like, I kind of just want to also normalize sex. Like, it's nothing wrong with it. It's just like, we all have sex. We all have our own identities that we need to not be ashamed of and just be proud of. And it's part of my little opportunity to kind of like give somebody else a spotlight for a minute to do the same thing where that I'm doing in drag. It's like, let your best self come out, let that little like open up a little bit, like share something about yourself. And the same thing, like I've started implementing this thing called the Wheel of Divas, and occasionally, not always, not a guarantee. Occasionally, if we have a tie, we'll spin the wheel and then do a lip sync for your life. I will say that some of the people who get up there and lip sync are like the, you know, biggest, like butchest guys that all of a sudden will pull out these dance moves and pull out like this like word for word lip sync, and I'm like, where did you come from? And please don't take my job. So, but then like, it's again, and that's meant to do the same thing. It's just like, I think drag has broken down so many barriers in terms of gender expression and gender identity. And like I said, I don't think of drag in terms of gender anymore. I think of it in terms of expression. So like, if going up there and lip syncing also gives you an opportunity to be a different person for 90 seconds or explore something within yourself that's, you know, that wants to come out or that isn't around every single day or is only around like when you're alone in your bedroom, then fine, then great. Like, I like when people take chances and just like release that part of themselves and just have fun.
Yeah. Cool. So when you're hosting bingo, what do you do if two or more people call bingo at the same time?
Oh,
or
God.
Call the win thing that you...
I panic, first of all. Like I said, I have this arsenal of tricks inside my head, and I don't always know what I'm going to do. I used to be overtly prepared. I used to have themes every week at the old place at the straight bar, and just be like, okay, based on my costume, based on this, this week's theme is Disney. So then we're going to have, you know, I'm dressed like a Disney princess, and we're going to have Disney themed trivia questions. And I used to have people like grab a boob. Or if there was more than people, then they'd grab a boob or a butt or whatever. Or I'd do different rounds and ask them trivia questions to try and do tiebreakers. But again, I've really been challenging myself to not just do that. I've been doing, you know, tiebreakers in terms of when on Fat Tuesday I had a big giant dildo from my personal collection that is just far too big to be inserted inside anybody, so I decided to use it as a prop instead. It's huge. It's really big. Like, it's like, I don't know, like, I don't know how big. Like Coke can big. Like, Coke can big and, like, two Coke cans long. And I'm like, nobody needs this in their butt. So I use it as a prop. So on Fat Tuesday, like, we had beads. So then, like, when we had a tie, people did a ring toss on it. And, you know, I gave it a shot, and I tried something new, and I tried something different. And it worked. So, you know, I'll do trivia. I'll do ring toss. I'll do the lip sync for your life. I'll do, sometimes I'll just, I mean, if I've got 10 people, I've got to arbitrarily cut it down. And so, like, literally when I said I panic, I'm not kidding. I honestly panic because my brain, I'm like up there smiling with a microphone and like my brain is working a million miles a minute to come up with what am I going to do? I have to pivot and adjust right now. So, but like I said, I think I've built up a safety net of things like props and pop culture knowledge and trivia and, you know, preparation with the bar that I always feel confident that I can come up with something on the fly. So I'm not pulling it out of nowhere, but I'm winging it, if that makes sense. Like, it's a fine line. Yeah.
What do you think makes drag bingo unique from other types of drag performances?
I said this to somebody very recently. I'm not, as a drag performer, I don't really feel, I'm not really engaged in the world of, that's really the only world I'm in right now. Like, I'm not performing, I'm not acting. I do drag performances, like pop-up performances as part of SoFo now, you know, in the interim, like as a break. But I'm not out there, you know, at, you know, the drag race at Roscoe's trying to compete. I'm not, you know, at Berlin, you know, part of their like midnight shows. Like, I enjoy going to see that, but I've always said I have a tremendous respect for drag queens, and I think everybody brings something different to the table. And I went and I saw a pageant, like a local pageant, for Hamburger Mary's. It was their first time doing it, so they're just starting this annual pageant, and the girls are great and amazing performers. And the thing that threw me was the interview portion, and there were some people who were amazing performers. And when you put them on a microphone, they didn't know how to, they could barely formulate a sentence. I think it was out of nerves, clearly, but like, also, it like led me to really value myself as what I do and have a new appreciation for myself, because I'm like, I look at those girls, you know, doing the splits and, you know, beating their mug for days and doing some of the shit they do, and I'm like, I could never do that. But then I look at myself and I'm like, I know for a fact that there are some of those girls who cannot do what I do. I don't think I'll ever have the same respect level as a lot of those queens. I don't really, like, as far as my drag queen friends go, it's a very small circle, and they all are mostly performers. And I know a lot of drag queens in the community, but I don't think I'm viewed as a, I don't think I'm viewed on the same level as them, but I don't think they've also given me a chance. Like, I know a lot of these queens that, you know, go to other gigs, support each other, go to whatever. Drag queens don't come to my bingo, except for my friends, like my friends that are drag queens, the few. There's a level of, I just read an interview with Aja after she got kicked off Drag Race last night, talking about how, you know, all drag queens are, there's a level of insecurity, and like I said earlier, like, need validation. And I have that, definitely, but part of me, over the past few months and where I've come in my journey, especially with bingo, realize that I don't really care anymore. Like, there's gonna be people who like what I do, and there's gonna be people who look at me as a booger and think that I'm not a drag queen and I'm just, you know, whatever. I don't really care. Like, everyone's entitled to their opinion. Everyone has social media and feels the need to express themselves all over the place. I am confident in what I do. I love what I do. I love being up there. I love making people happy and making people laugh. And like I said, like, I don't know how I got here, how it like happened, but like, I wouldn't trade it for anything. I don't want to be one of those girls. I want to be a hostess, and I love hosting, and I love talking to people and like hearing what they have to say and that. So I'm okay with the differences, but I don't know how many people in the drag community really celebrate the differences. I feel like especially a lot of young queens, maybe, or people who are very stuck on what it is they do, still think that what I do isn't as valid as what they do. And I'm like, I mean, I think it's a shame. It's disappointing sometimes. But I think about it this way. I'm just like, when I try and keep an open mind. I try and be, not get discouraged by it. But the times I do get discouraged by it, I'm just like, well, do you have a regular gig? Do you get paid on the regular to do drag? Or are you going out and like getting like $50 for a show, you know, doing whatever? Like, I'm like, somebody wants me to be there, and somebody's paying me to be there, and somebody recognizes my talents and recognizes me as a valid performer and is encouraging me, and they can see it because of the reaction of the people who come there. So, I mean, if I don't get validation from other drag queens, fine. I could really give a shit. The only validation I really want is from the people in that bar that night. That's really all I want. And that's honestly, like, I get, like, so stupid gushy, mushy on the microphone sometimes, and I'm just like, I think I did a couple weeks ago. I like almost started crying. I was like, you guys mean so much to me. And it really does. Like, I mean, like, I work a day job that's not easy, and my favorite part of the week, well, let me clarify. My favorite part of the week is being there, doing that, making people laugh. So it goes like this. In order of importance, let's say on a Tuesday, favorite part of the day, being in drag, hosting, making people laugh, drinking, having a good time. Actual day job. Waking up, process of getting in drag, bottom of the list. Bottom of the fucking list. I hate getting in drag. I hate it. It's the worst. It's not fun. It's not, drag is not comfortable. Drag is not easy. And that's the other thing that gets me. Now I'm on a diatribe for a second. The other thing that gets me is that, like, drag is not easy. And, like, why somebody else couldn't recognize that just because I'm not doing the same thing you do does not mean I'm not putting in, like, a shit ton of effort to do what I do. So, like I said, I will agree to disagree and move on with our lives. Sometimes it makes me mad, and sometimes I'm just like, meh. Don't really care. Have another drink.
So, knowing the dragon isn't easy, and having the experience to make that call, why host Bingo and Drag?
Like I said, like, it's... Oh, sorry. I went to school to be an actor. That's what I went to college for. That's what I got my Bachelor's of Arts in. That's why I moved to Chicago. I moved to Chicago to be an actor and perform because it was truly the only thing that made me happy for a long time. And it evolved. It changed. And I'm a very social person, and I love hearing people's stories, making new friends, like learning from other people's experiences, and I also still love having a creative outlet. I'm very lucky. I don't know how this happened, but like, I started dating somebody 6 months ago, and I feel like on our first date, I told him, I'm just like, by the way, you should know. I always led with that on a first date, because like, some people aren't into it. Some people are like, oh, okay, can't handle that, I'm out. So it's like, okay. So he was cool with it, because he's a dancer and a performer and an actor, so he got it. It took him a while to come see me, but he got it. So he now, because of my interest and what I do, it sparked something inside him. And he's now become somebody who's also exploring the world of drag and also exploring what he wants to do, and has also become a creative collaborator with me, like in terms of costuming and wigs and you know, everything in between. So the other part of it is that, like, now I'm, because there were times when I was doing Bingo, and over the past couple of years, I felt very, very much an island, very much alone. But now I think the other part that's kind of lit a fire under me was, like, I have somebody to bounce this stuff off of, somebody to be like, yes, do that, don't do that, yes, that looks good, no, that doesn't look good. And also a cheerleader, somebody to, like, support me and tell me I'm great and say, go out there and go get them. So, I mean, I've ventured away, I've ebbed and flowed away from the world of drag for many times over the past few years. Sometimes not doing it for, like, 6-8 months at a time between gigs. But he helped me remember why it was I started doing it, and why it was I started, I like hosting, was because, like, it just, it fills a void in me, that passion that I had for acting, and that passion that I had for performing, and for making people laugh. It's back, and it's in this whole new world that, like, I never dreamed I would ever be a part of, and I feel lucky to be a part of it, really lucky, because, like I said, there's people out there who, you know, bust their butts and don't get daily gigs or, you know, things like that. So, I mean, it makes me happy, and I can't, there's really nothing else to say about it. Just, it makes me happy.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
So what advice would you give to somebody who's looking into getting into Drag Bingo? Or wants to host Drag Bingo?
First of all, I would recommend stay away from my gig and stay away from my shit. So if you want to get in, if you want to do bingo, okay, let me do this in the non-catty way, that if it's like somebody who actually wants to do it. Basically, the thing about it is like, first of all, I think you need to just, like, put yourself out there and, like, just take a chance. Like, if it's something you really want to do, like, and you have a bar that doesn't have a bingo, or you see an opportunity, you have to take the opportunity. Like, there's been times where I've, you know, that first, my very first thing, like, somebody said, oh, they want to do bingo, and I'm just like, well, I'm going to make this mine, and I'm going to turn this into something. Like, there's plenty of, there's so many bars in Chicago, and so many, I mean, you have to obviously do your research and know the programming of said establishment to see if it's even a viable option, but, like, there will be opportunities that fall in your lap. There will be opportunities that somebody, like SoFo, somebody moved away, and then I, you know, in your right place, right time. But the other thing about it is if you want an opportunity, go out and make an opportunity. And the other thing about it is that, like, if you really want to host Drag Bingo, go see as much Drag Bingo as humanly possible. You're not going to learn. It's like anything else. You're not going to learn unless you immerse yourself in it. I'm not kidding. Like, I have been to, I used to go to, oh, I forget her name. She used to host at Atmosphere before Christina Rose and I did. And then she went down to a bar called Shakers. And then that gig ended. Teriyaki would do it at the old Halsteads, and then at Hydrate now. I'm blanking on her name. My friend Debbie Fox would do it at Spin when she was filling in for... I'm going to hate myself for not knowing her name. I'm just blanking on her name. She's a sweet, sweet girl. Sweet as pie, but I'm blanking on her name. She used to host it. And, like, there's so many drag queen bingos that it's like, go see it. Like, go see what they're doing and then decide what you want to do. If you want to do what there is that they're doing, it'll... I mean, yeah, imitation is sincerest form of flattery, but my advice is make it your own. I know people do some dirty bingo and do stuff like that, but I don't see people do it the way I do it. Or at least I haven't in a while. And I think part of the reason why is because I want to go to other people's bingos now, but now I've got, at least in the month of February, I've got 2 gigs a week, so I haven't had a chance to, but the other thing I need to do personally, it sounds silly to say, but, like, is go out there and see who else is doing bingo and do my research, find out what's changed, see if there's any new ideas that I can appropriate or switch into my own. Like, maybe they're doing something fun, maybe they're doing something cool, and I don't feel like Drag Queen Bingo is a... any one person is doing any kind of revolutionary drag bingo. It all depends on the establishment, it all depends on the prizes, it all depends on the clientele, it depends on the queen doing it, being engaging and, like, funny. But, like, just do as much research as possible. Put yourself out there. Why not? What do you got to lose?
Great. So those are all the questions that I have.
Okay.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add that I haven't covered? Any other insight?
I mean, I, like I said, I realized over the past few months, especially at the gig at SoFo, how much bingo actually has become a big part of my life and how much it means to me. I love watching how people get excited over it and, like, so angry when they lose, so happy when they win. And like I said, it's just, there's something about it that is just such this, like, basic shared human experience. Like, we're all in this together, you know, and it's just a... it's just come to symbolize for me so much more than just, like, being in drag. It's also come to be just a part of who I am at this point. You know, people at work and people at my job ask me about it all the time, and know that that's, like, part of my life. Like, oh, you have bingo tonight? Oh, okay. So it's just, I don't know, it's been a good outlet for me, and it's been a good opportunity for me to explore who I am as a drag queen, who I am as a hostess, as a, I guess, a comedian. And I'm just like, because just that time on the mic has given me this path of self-discovery, it means so much more to me than just calling out numbers on a ball. It, like, it's something that actually, like, is part of my history, you know? And when I decide whatever day to stop doing drag or stop hosting bingo or the place burns down, it'll be sad, but I will never be too sad knowing that it has given me so much. And that's that.
That's great.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your
Yeah,
your
thank
time.
You. This is very enlightening to myself.
Great.
Awesome.